Welcome to Through the Bible with Pastor Michael, a podcast from First Baptist Church in Mustang, Oklahoma. Here's Pastor Michael.
We are looking today at Joshua 7, 8, and 9, and reading and going over today some difficult passages. These are accounts of what happened to Israel as a result of their disobedience, and it really is a tragic account that we read today, but one that we need to pay attention to and learn from. Five observations. Number one, Israel was defeated by Ai. We see this here in chapter 7, this little two-letter place, Ai, that somehow defeats Israel. As much power and strength because of the Lord that Israel had, something happened that cost them to lose this battle to the people of Ai. Number two, the reason for Israel's defeat was the sin of Achan. We learn about what Achan did as he disobeyed the Lord and took things that he was not authorized to have. And because of that sin, the entire nation of Israel lost the battle. Number three, we observe that Israel went again to defeat Ai and did so with 30,000 warriors. The first time they did not take it seriously. They relied on their own strength, their own power, and not only relied on themselves, but also had sin in the camp. And so after that lesson, Israel goes again, and the next time they go up against Ai, they defeat them with 30,000 warriors. A fourth observation is the Gibeonites deceive Israel, and they are not destroyed. The armies of God were to go in and completely capture the land entirely, and they were deceived by the Gibeonites, and so because of the deception of the Gibeonites, their lives were spared. And then a fifth observation, Israel failed to seek the Lord's direction. We see this in chapter 9, verse 14. So the men took some of their provisions, but did not ask counsel from the Lord. This is really the heart of the problem of what we're reading today. The people of Israel took things in their own hands, literally and figuratively. Achan took things that did not belong to him. They did not take obedience to the Lord as seriously as they should. They were deceived because they did not seek counsel from the Lord. So what does this mean for us? What are five applications for us from this? Number one, we must choose each day to be obedient to the Lord. Obedience to the Lord is in some ways a one-time decision, and in other ways, a daily decision. It's a one-time decision in that there should come a point in time in our life where we say, I follow the Lord. His word will be the direction for my life. His will is going to be what I pursue. The glory of His name is going to be the delight of my soul. There should be a point in time where we make that declaration in our own heart that we are going to obey the Lord. Yet, every single day, we have to choose to be faithful to that. It's a lot like a marriage. When you get married, there is a day, a moment, a point in time where you pledge your love to someone and commit your life to somebody, and that moment in time establishes the direction of the rest of your life. Yet, you must choose every single day to be faithful to those vows. As a believer, we're saved by God's grace. He gives us spiritual life. He makes us alive with Him. In a moment in time, we experience that justification, that salvation. But every single day of our life, we have to choose to obey Him. We must choose on a daily basis to say, This is not a day I'm going to take lightly. This is not a day I'm going to take for granted. I'm going to obey the Lord today. A second application, coveting leads to disaster, and sin makes us weak. That's exactly what we see happening with Israel in the battle against Ai and including the sin of Achan. There was coveting going on, and it led to disaster. And because of that sin in the camp, it made the people very weak. If you've got things you're coveting in your life, if you've got things that don't belong to you, that you find yourself envious of and jealous of, frustrated that you don't have those blessings, that sin of coveting is a disaster. And when you meditate on that covetousness and you become obsessed with what you don't have, blessings that maybe somebody else has that you do not, that sin of covetousness is going to end up making you ungrateful and make you very, very weak. Number three, anytime we are hiding things, we are alerted that we are in a dangerous place. Achan's taking what was not his and hiding it. That should be a reminder for us that anything we're hiding, secret sins, secret conversations, secret pastimes, whatever it may be, things that we try to hide, we try to cover up, we try to make sure and not leave a paper trail. We try to make sure that this sin that we're a part of, that we cover it up and hide it. That's an alert for us. That's an alarm going off right there to say, I need to confess this sin and get rid of it. If you're hiding something from your spouse, if you're hiding something from your friends, if you think you're hiding something from the Lord, that's an alarm going off to say, this is dangerous. This is sin. Confess this. Get rid of this. Turn away from this. Stop this. Now, we don't want to repeat the sin of Achan, of coveting, of stealing, and of trying to hide. Fourth application. When we are trusting God, we need not fear or be dismayed. When we are trusting God, we need not to fear or be dismayed. As weak as the people of God were because they did not seek counsel from the Lord, if they were to honor the Lord, they would not need to be in fear. Chapter 8, verse 1, the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear and do not be dismayed." Their sin was real. The consequences were real. It was real for Achan and his family, and the consequences of sin was real for the people of Israel and the defeat they had the first battle against Ai. But the Lord is saying that when sin is dealt with and when you are honoring the Lord and seeking the Lord and following the Lord, you don't need to live in fear. You don't need to be dismayed. When we're hiding sin, we live in constant fear. When we confess and forsake our sin, we need have no fear. And so let the reading today drive you to confession. Let it drive you to a place of repentance. Let it cause you to look at your life and say, is there anything I'm trying to hide? Are there any secret thoughts? Any secret words? Any secret hobbies or pastimes or conversations, whatever it may be, anything in your life that you know should not be there, you know is not right, you know is not pleasing to the Lord, that you're trying to constantly hide and cover over and protect and guard, confess that, repent of that, turn from that. And as a result of that obedience, you can enjoy living without fear rather than in living in constant fear. Then a fifth application, we can never fail to seek the Lord. We just cannot afford to ever fail to seek the Lord. Again, that's what chapter 9 records for us, the people of God and the people of Israel did. They failed to seek counsel from the Lord. We can't afford to do that. We're not smart enough. We're not strong enough. We're not wise enough. We can't do things on our own. We weren't made to do things on our own. We were made to rely upon the strength of the Lord. We were made to be dependent upon the power that only comes from God. You weren't made to act independently. You were made to depend upon the Lord. So seek His counsel, seek His will by knowing His Word, reading His Word, praying for the Holy Spirit to enlighten you as you read His Word, praying for courage and strength to obey and follow through with what you read. We just can't afford to fail to seek the Lord. And then Psalm 54, an encouraging brief chapter. I would summarize it this way: God hears, saves, helps, and upholds us. God hears, saves, helps, and upholds us. So whatever you need today, turn Psalm 54 into a prayer today, and know that God hears you. When you pray, when you cry out to the Lord, God hears you. And God saves His people. He delivers us. He rescues us. He forgives our sin. He makes us His own. He ensures that even when this life ends, we are with Him. God saves His people. He helps us. He's not a distant God. He's near. He's not a disinterested God. He cares. He helps His people. And He upholds us. He strengthens us. He carries us. Our God loves His people, and He is strong. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Be encouraged today. Be convicted where there's sin in your life. Be broken where there's disobedience in your life. And then repent. Confess your sins. Seek the Lord. Go from hiding to forgiveness. Go from covering sin to exposing it before the Lord and repenting of that. And then enjoy and live in the forgiveness and the restoration that in grace the Lord gives to His people as He hears us, helps us, delivers us, saves us, and upholds us and keeps us together by His sustaining grace. Read carefully today. Read with conviction. Read with repentance. And trust in the Lord as you seek His will through His Word today.